Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. Pastor Brian Parrish continues this week's study entitled Principles of Faith as he goes verse by verse through Joshua chapter 3, verses 11 through 17. So let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Now go with me to Luke chapter 3, and we'll see John's prophecy or prediction of what the Lord would do. Look at verse 16 of Luke chapter 3. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize with water, but one mightier than I am coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's a pretty powerful testimony. I'm not even worthy to loose this guy's sandal. Now he's later asking, are you really the one? Look what also John said, verse 17. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he'll burn with unquenchable fire. So this baptism with Holy Spirit and with fire communicates more than just the power of God coming upon a situation. It also is a message of judgment. He's going to separate the chaff, the unbelievers, those rebellious to God's kingdom, and he's going to bring his judgment upon them. That's what John preached. And now the very people that John was expecting the Messiah to bring judgment upon now have him captive in prison. Something's not right here. Maybe this really isn't the one. Let's make sure. So he sends disciples to say, are you the one, or should we look for another? And so often that's what begins to happen in our own life when we have expectations of what we want God to do in our life, in our family, in our bodies, in our ministry. And we are expecting that, and God doesn't do what we expect him to do. Our hearts can get disappointed and turn and grumble against the Lord and doubt. Maybe the Lord isn't going to use my life. Or maybe the Lord isn't going to work in my family. Or maybe the Lord's not going to work in these set of circumstances I find myself in. Thus, you need to just learn to be quiet. Sometimes it's just best to say nothing. Just sit before God and say, God, I don't understand what's going on, but I know that I could trust you. I was expecting these things to happen. It's not working out that way, but I'm going to trust you that you promised me victory, that you promised blessing, and you're going to bring it one way or another. Now, this passage is going to be fulfilled because it's the word of God, but it won't be fulfilled until Jesus Christ comes out of heaven. So he's going to ride on a horse. His name is going to be called the word of God, and he has this sword that comes out of his mouth, and he strikes the nations. And then there will be this fiery judgment that the Lord will bring. It's going to happen. The Lord's going to wipe out all of his opponents. But it's not going to happen until the second coming of Christ. John was expecting this victory to be brought, not only through the power of the Spirit, but also through judgment. And it didn't happen. Now he begins to wonder. We need to walk by faith. Whatever is happening, whatever the set of circumstances we find ourselves in, God is going to do what is right. He's going to do what's powerful. He's going to do what relates to his kingdom, and it will be good. I think of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that someone wrote a famous song about it. They just kind of copied the Bible. They didn't actually write it. They put Ecclesiastes 3. There's a time under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time of love, a time of hate, a time of war, a time of peace. But then later on at verse 11, Solomon writes that God makes everything beautiful in its time. Now, it may not look beautiful right now what you're going through, but God will turn it around for good somehow. That's where faith comes in. This looks horrible right now. It's not what I was expecting, not what I was hoping, but I'm not going to go in doubts. I'm not going to go in unbelief. I'm going to trust the Lord to bring blessing into this situation. And until then, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm going to walk by faith and let him bring about what he wants to. Because oftentimes our timing is just off. But God is a powerful and mighty God. He's a God of all the earth. He can do whatever he wants. The Bible says he sits up in the heavens and he does whatever he wishes. So there's nothing hindering in this earth, hindering God from bringing this plan, this desires that you have in your heart. It may just be a matter of the timing of God. Don't accuse the Lord falsely. Look at the life of Job. It says he didn't sin with his mouth. He didn't accuse the Lord foolishly. He made it through that season. Yeah, I had some questions, but in the end, God blessed his life. He didn't know God was going to bless his life, but he walked by faith. He was able to say, though you slay me, yet I will trust you. We need to have such confidence in the God that we serve. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 3. This fourth principle is closely related to the timing of God, and yet I want to draw out from the last part of verse 15 is that faith doesn't focus on the circumstances. So often, unfortunately, our faith, the level of our faith increases or decreases depending on what we're going through. As if this set of circumstances is harder for God to work in. God doesn't have degrees of difficulty because he has limitless power, limitless wisdom, and he is the sovereign God of the universe. So he could do whatever he wants, and nothing could hinder that work. Unfortunately, our perception of God and his ability to love, to care for us, his grace upon our life, or so even sometimes his power is based on the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We can't let that happen. We can't let our lives be ruled by the circumstances of life because we have a God that's on the throne that's in control. We can't let our emotions, due to these circumstances, control our faith, diminish it. God doesn't change. He hasn't given out power. It's not as if when he created man, however long ago, that he's been giving out a little power and he's kind of running out and you better get yours before there's none left. There's an infinite amount of supply. It never decreases. So don't let circumstances dictate of how you're going to walk in your relationship with the Lord. At the end of verse 15, there's a little interesting note. It says, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. And there in the nation of Israel, this was probably during April or May, and this is when the snow from Mount Lebanon would melt and the Jordan would flood. Plus, it was the rainy season. They had two rainy seasons. And they find themselves at that point where the most amount of water is in the Jordan. Now, why does God do that? Why couldn't he wait till the time where the river was the smallest, and they maybe could have waded through or found a way to get through or help each other and make a raft and get across somehow? God waits until it's the most difficult time. Isn't that the way the Lord works in your life? Puts you in a place where this is impossible. And what we need to realize is whether the banks are over flooding or it's just a little stream we could get across, we need to trust the Lord because his power is sufficient to do whatever he wants to accomplish. And so don't let your faith rise when circumstances are good and then your faith decrease when it seems like you're under difficult situations. I want to look at two passages of Scripture, one from the New Testament, one from the Old, that discusses this issue. And let's look over at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. It's going to talk about the faith of Abraham. Verse 17 says, as is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God could call Abraham and have him change his name, which meant a father of a multitude, when he had no children. Because God knew he was going to do that. I mean, that would be like me having the name Curly. It just doesn't fit, right? Curly, where'd you get that? And here's a guy with no kids being named a father of a multitude. But yet God was going to bring it about so God could change his name and God could speak to those things as if they exist because they're sure when God's going to do it. That's the type of faith that we need to have confidence in the Lord. That even though it's dead, God's able to bring it about. Even though it looks impossible, the God that we serve, it is no problem for him. And oftentimes God brings us to the most serious set of circumstances where it's the most difficult so that he's the only one that could do it. But then oftentimes God puts us in situations where it looks like things die. I don't know what it is, why God does that He's going to do something in our life, and it's almost we have to come to the point where there is no hope. This is a dead issue. It's a dead situation. It's not going to happen. And then God seems to revive that very thing from the dead. I think maybe one of the things may be is that the Lord doesn't want your heart to be captivated around anything, not even his blessing. God wants you to pursue him, not just his blessing. He wants you to love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, not just what he could do for us or what he's going to do for us or the blessings that he brings to us. That Ark of the Covenant represented that, the presence of God. He said, focus on that. It went out in front. Everyone was to watch. Everyone was to watch the Lord. Not the miracle, but to watch the Lord. He's the one that is to receive all the honor and glory. And our hearts gravitate towards things so quickly. It could even be good things. I need to make sure that I'm not more in love with the ministry than I am with the one who called me into the ministry, amen? So I love doing the Lord's work, but it's got to be for him, not just a delight I have. Like I said about worship as well, I love to worship, but hopefully it's not just worship that I'm captivated by, but the one that I'm worshiping. And sometimes the Lord allows things to die so that when he gives it back, you realize this is from the hand of God. You see his work in it.